Hey guys, I am so excited for Ethos Training Systems to be the official sponsor for my podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. They are located at 314 West Institute Place, Chicago, and are Chicago's first sustainable strength, conditioning, and mobility group training facility. Their three main focuses are fat loss and conditioning, strength development, and injury prevention and mobility. Be sure to sign up for their new client promo at ethostrainingshy.com and make them your number one for all your training needs. Follow them on Instagram at Ethos Training Shy for awesome tips and updates. Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. Today, I have a guest on that was actually connected through a good friend of mine, Paul Farvar, comedian and lawyer, and my producer, Ben Anderson, and Kristen Robinson, who's here with me today, was on with Paul when he was co-hosting and filling in, I think on WGN Radio one night, and thought that we would just connect really well. And I love meeting people, you know, in the same realm who have the same mission in life to really be able to motivate and empower others to achieve their personal goals and really utilize and fulfill their true potential. So it's amazing, you know, when other people just really want to help others and, you know, meeting people like that's amazing. So welcome, Kristen.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm super stoked to be here.
I know. I'm so excited. I was like, awesome connection. Great. This is amazing. More people, you know, like you. I love having just these guests on. I think yes. It's just incredible.
Well, and one of the big things that I was hoping to do this year, just personally, mm-hmm. is really make more connections and practice being, yes, exactly.
There we go.
Like practice being just authentically like brave and who I am.
Yes.
In the hopes that then I would make connections with people mm-hmm. that I maybe normally wouldn't have. And so I feel like this is probably that coming to life.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I think, you know, relationships too is one of the most important things in life.
Yeah.
You know, just for so many reasons, but, mm-hmm. you know, genuinely connecting with people, it's like people are in your lives for a reason. They can be there, you know, long term for a short amount of time. But I just think it's so important when we can really, truly connect with someone and, you know, when you can come together and do something that in turn helps other people.
Yes.
It's even more incredible.
Yeah, agree.
But to kind of give people a little background about yourself and who you are and what you do, you have a podcast, Cultivating Courage.
I do. Yes.
And you're the founder and head coach of Thrive Coaching Studio.
Also correct. Yes.
Awesome. So you do a lot of personal one-on-one coaching with people.
I do some one-on-one coaching with people, but my main focus is really more group coaching and small groups.
Yes. I saw that on your site, like doing more workshops.
Yeah. Yeah, I just really feel that we as humans are all about connections and we're social beings, whether we admit we are or mm-hmm. not.
Yes.
And I think there's just power in relating to other people in the group. I think it normalizes the things that we're going through. It normalizes the things that we're thinking about other situations or mm-hmm. even ourselves. And so I feel like there's power in group work.
Definitely.
And so that's definitely more my focus. I do one-on-one coaching mm-hmm. as well. But I definitely prefer and I enjoy the group coaching so much.
Well, I think it's great to be able to bring people together and kind of create an automatic support group because, mm-hmm. you know, depending on what that person's going through in life, it's hard to maybe talk about it with their friends or family or people that, you know, may be involved. So it's nice to have that group of people that are also going through the same thing and they can relate to mm-hmm. and for you to bring that together and kind of, you know, act as that connector in yeah. a sense also. Yeah. I think that creates a great environment.
Yeah. And it's a nice place for people to practice mm-hmm. being, showing up authentically, being who they are in kind of a safe space or a brave space, if
yes.
you will.
Oh, I love that.
And by practicing showing up authentically themselves, I think that then they do that at work. They do that in their personal life. And that creates then the space for other people to do the same back.
Yes.
You know, I think when we show up authentically who we are, it creates a space for the people in our lives to reciprocate in that way, you know? Yes,
definitely.
Yeah.
I love that. How did you tell us a little bit about your background? I'm like, you know, I want to continue talking more about this, but how did you get to this place of where you are right now?
Well, it's a long, winding path, but
we have a little time. It's fine.
So the short story is, I worked in corporate America for a long time.
Okay.
And I just felt like I wanted to do more. I wanted to have a more meaningful purpose in life. And so I went back and got my master's in counseling with the idea of being a middle school counselor.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did my practicum and internship in a Chicago public school, and I loved it. But I also realized that I didn't necessarily want to work in Chicago public schools, just because of the bureaucracy.
Right.
And it's hard to do and be truly in the counseling role in CPS.
Yes. Yeah, I can see that. There's probably a lot more that you wanted to be able to do or couldn't do. You know, I feel like even the role of teachers now has changed so much. So I could just imagine how that would be kind of at a counseling level as well.
Yeah, I think at a lot of schools, the counseling position becomes a catch-all for some administrative tasks that it's not really clear who should be doing them.
Right.
And so it just so happened, kind of, I call it my perfect storm. I finished grad school and decided I wasn't quite sure that that's what I wanted to be doing. And so I moved to Thailand and lived in Thailand for a year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
wow.
It was amazing. I taught English at a kindergarten, and there kindergarten is like 2.5. It's basically preschool and kindergarten.
Okay.
Is the age, but they just call it kindergarten. So just like these little wee babies. Yeah, it was an amazing experience, and I did that by myself. So I had a lot of time to reflect and think, and you know, what do I want my life to be when I go back?
Sure.
What's meaningful to me? What has changed my life? And that sort of thing. And so when I got back, I knew that this is what I wanted to create, because I just feel like everyone is like worthy, right, of the life that they want.
Yes,
whether
absolutely.
That's a life full of love, adventure, fun, whatever it is, everyone is worthy. But very few people feel they are worthy of that life. And so I came back and I was just like, I just want to help everyone realize their amazingness and that they can like totally do whatever they want to do. And so obviously that's like the cheerleader in me. And I tone it down generally.
I feel like we're like the same person though. I just have to like chime in real quick here, because it's funny that my new slogan and website is Embrace Amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's really like, it's never going to be happy sunshine and rainbows all day long.
Totally.
All the time. But though it's embracing everything around that, and people really feeling, you hit on that note of them deserving, like people don't feel like they deserve to be happy.
Yeah.
And it's like,
nuts.
No, that's not right.
Yeah.
We need to change that mentality.
Right. You are worthy of whatever life you want to live.
Yes.
And to your point, you're not going to have that life every day, every hour of every day. But the first step to having it most of the time is at least accepting that you deserve it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So it was your mission. You wanted to just create this. You wanted to help other people kind of get into that emotional state and feel, feel that they can achieve what they want. When did you start? When was that? When did you get back from Thailand?
I got back about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been kind of working on creating the programs and working on just my knowledge and my experiences.
Yes.
To be able to take that to then my workshops and my classes.
And where do you host them out of?
It depends.
Okay.
So they're usually downtown.
Okay.
In the
Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And how often, I notice on there too, do you do like monthly workshops or, you know, several per week, or people can kind of, like a certain segment, like so many weeks kind of to a program?
Sure. So I have
a series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have a small group series that is 6 to 8 weeks long, and you're going to be in a group of 6 to 8 people.
Okay.
And you'll meet weekly.
Nice.
So we'll meet weekly for an hour, and each session will build on the last.
Okay.
So that's kind of a true kind of small group feel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so that's really like a tight knit community by the end of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And everybody's generally working on something. I mean, we have a theme, right?
I was just going to ask. Yeah. That was my next question.
There's a general theme and topic to the small group, but that means so many things to so many different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have a small group on exploring fear and embracing fear, and that's what one person gets out of that is going to be totally different from another person.
Mm-hmm.
But the shared experience across the group, even if one person's working on, like, I really want to be able to speak up at work, and another person might be working on something in their personal life with a relationship, even though those are two seemingly different things, you're both getting something out of each other's experience, which is why I love doing like the groups and the workshops.
Well, and it's like, and then you have these friendships and relationships that can last ongoing past the series of, you know, classes or workshops that you guys have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's being that support system, you know, for each other.
Yeah. Checking in and saying, hey, I know you were going to, like, I know you set Tuesday as the day to have that big conversation. Like, did you? How'd it go?
Yes. I mean, I think when we feel supported and that other people truly care and can kind of be that cheerleader for us, we, you know, it just gives us that confidence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So when did you start doing your podcast?
So I started my podcast in February,
okay.
I think. So it's pretty new.
Yeah.
It's just a few months old.
How's that been?
It's been good. I really, you know, we're still kind of like testing things out.
Of course.
Right? Like, we're like, oh, let's try this and see how that goes. And let's try this and see how that feels. And, but I really, now we're getting to the point where people are like actually commenting and I'm like, oh, people are listening. This is awesome. Because sometimes you just feel like you're in a vacuum.
Well, and it's like a passion project. It's something that's so important, you know, and that you love, and you want to make sure that, you know, people are listening and enjoying it.
Exactly.
And, you know, giving feedback. So it's awesome. I totally, I get it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So it's really good. And we have a guest on the first few episodes. It was just me and my co-host, Matt, and just kind of testing things out, talking about courage, talking about fear. And then the ultimate goal was to always have a guest on to talk about things that are happening in their lives that either they had an amazing amount of courage and like, how did they do that? Or something that they're struggling with right now that they could use some coaching.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And getting both perspectives.
Yeah. And so that's what we typically do.
Oh,
so
that's, it's fun. Awesome.
Yeah. And then every once in a while we'll do kind of a what is coaching episode. So we look at kind of the frequently asked questions of coaching. So somebody that's maybe is like, what is coaching? I don't even get it.
Well, I think it can be used in so many formats now, and people don't always understand, well, what is, you know, what does that mean? Like, there's this kind of coach or that kind of coach. And it's like, what are you really kind of, you know, helping me achieve and accomplish?
Exactly.
So that's awesome to kind of, you know, give that perspective to the listener as well.
Yeah.
From your viewpoint. So, you know, I obviously wanted to bring Kristen here today to talk about the wonderful topic of fear. And it was funny, on the way here, I drove in today instead of taking the train. And I was like, fear is driving on Lower Wacker Drive. And your phone, your GPS, not picking up where you're supposed to go. And you're terrified. Like, where am I going to end up? Am I going to get here or not? That's my fear right there for today. So I'm just putting that out there. But I was like, huh, this is funny. This is exactly what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, what is fear? Like, what is the definition of fear? Because we put so much, you know, it's this thing that we're so afraid of. And I think build up so many emotions around.
Yes.
So I looked it up this morning. And to give you the exact definition, it's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. So that is the definition of fear. But I think, you know, fear is such a huge topic, and we all have it to some extent and experience it.
Yes.
And I know, you know, I want you to be able to share tips in your perspective, as, you know, I talk about this a lot with my clients and my students and just, you know, on the podcast in general. But I think when we keep fear in our mind, we make it so much bigger than it really is.
Absolutely.
So one of the things I encourage my clients to do a lot is to journal. And, you know, doesn't have to be paragraphs or pages, but just kind of putting down those emotions and those fears, because we do have to feel, you know, our feelings. But when we can see it, it's usually a lot less scary than we really think it is.
Absolutely.
And we can come up with, okay, what if this worst case scenario happens? How can I deal with it? What is my action plan? So I think looking at, kind of detaching a little bit and stepping back and looking at it from a different perspective can help, because we can become so consumed by it.
Yeah.
So, well, what are your thoughts on fear? I'll just put it out there.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. Yeah. Some of my big thoughts, right, are one, there's so many different types of fear.
Yes.
So there's true, there is danger here, fear. Like, oh, someone is like chasing me down the street.
Right.
That's true danger fear.
Like your fight or flight. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
And then there's fear of the past. So this situation went this way once before. So now that I'm presented with this same situation, I'm afraid that it's going to go the way that it went before.
Okay.
So fear of the past. And then I also think there's fear of the unknown, which is a big one.
Oh yeah, that's
one,
a big one.
Right. I mean, they're all, well, danger, fear, whatever, that's life.
Yes.
And not necessarily particularly often that we're truly in danger. But fear of the past and fear of the unknown, I mean, those are big ones because especially fear of the unknown, we just let our minds run that ship, right?
I mean, absolutely.
And it's so hard sometimes to take back control and to step out of it. So to your point, I do think that naming the fear and like kind of recognizing what is it that I'm actually afraid of?
Well,
it's rarely the presenting problem.
I think,
you know what I mean?
You know, recognition and awareness is probably, you know, a step number one as to being like, okay, I'm understanding that this exists.
Yeah.
Now what can I do? And what are these other emotions that kind of come along with it?
Yeah. Because I think a lot of times the thing we think we're afraid of isn't really at the root of what we're afraid of.
Right.
So, for example, I don't particularly enjoy going to like networking events. I do it because I have to. It's important to my business. It's important to my personal development, but I don't particularly enjoy it, which my friends think is hilarious because they're like, you seem like you love it. And I don't at all. I'm like terrified the entire time. I'm like meeting new people. So it's not that I'm afraid of the networking, right? Like, that's not what I'm afraid of. What I'm afraid of is looking dumb.
Yes.
So for me, that's the fear. Like, it's not, I'm afraid of networking events. It's, I'm afraid of looking like an idiot.
Right. Look at that. That's great. Yeah.
You know, so I think
Real, that can be.
Yeah. And I think that like really narrowing down, like, you know, if you're able to first like recognize that fear is happening, and then be able to, like you said, take a step back and really look at it and be like, what is it that's actually driving these emotions that I'm feeling? Because it's probably not the the presenting
yes.
thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not an actual networking. Like, you're not afraid of that
right.
in reality, but yeah, no, I mean, that's true. There's so many different interferes that I think we don't always recognize right away, which mm-hmm. is why it is a process.
Yeah.
And having people to talk to or support or, you know, the tools, if you will, yeah. To help you get there and realize it, I think are very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So with that, how do you help people kind of get to that point and recognize what their true inner fears may be?
So a lot of it is asking the right questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you know that from coaching.
Yeah.
It's less about telling people and more about helping them discover it. So it's a lot of just asking the right questions, and drilling down to like, what is it that recognizing you feel uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
or uneasy? Like, that's kind of the first thing. Like, so be aware
yes.
and pay attention to when you're feeling uncomfortable and uneasy.
Mm-hmm.
And then take a step back and say, like, what is it about this situation that's making me uneasy?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I always ask, and what else? Because, like, it's a really good, I'm giving the, like, all the tricks of coaching out right now.
Yeah.
But, like, the and what else question is huge because, mm-hmm. you know, I think that as humans, we give the answer and we don't necessarily want to look any further than the answer we've just given.
I would agree. Absolutely.
And so the and what else and silence then gets people thinking more like, oh, and this and this mm-hmm. and this and this
yeah.
also.
All of a sudden, then there's a long list of things that people may have not been comfortable answering before, or may not have been aware of.
Not even been aware of.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, they're used to answering a simple question. And then it's like to dive in deeper. It's like, oh, well, wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's always important to throw in there too for people. It's especially when they're in those moments and they recognize it. But it's like, don't forget to breathe.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Huge. Like that's a huge thing to get out of like your head is
yes.
to like move your body,
mm-hmm.
like take three big, deep breaths, like strike a power pose, you know, mm-hmm. like stand like Wonder Woman or Superman for like,
totally.
You know, a minute or even if it's 15 seconds, like jump up out of your chair, do something that's moving
mm-hmm.
to like get you out of your head for sure. That's a big one.
I love that though. It seems so silly. And I tell, you know, even when like, you know, people talk about like meditation and stuff mm-hmm. and it's like, listen, there's no right or wrong way to do it. And it's just allowing that consistent, I think, time for yourself, even if it's 5 minutes, you know, I don't think it has to necessarily be 30 minutes or an hour.
Yeah.
But you're taking that time for yourself. But it's like, just breathe, even breathing, taking three deep breaths in the morning, at the start of the day, and mm-hmm. at the end of the day, just to release. I mean, hopefully you're breathing throughout the day, but you know what I mean? Like really good deep breaths. Because that's bringing that awareness back and mm-hmm. you're being, you know, present in that moment. But it's like, that can be a form of meditation. But you need to just breathe.
Yeah.
Let things go. Strike a pose. I love that. Looking at the mirror and like talking to yourself and being
yeah.
like, you can do this. I mean, it seems so silly.
Yeah.
But it works in those moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gets you through.
Well, and I think by taking that step back, then you can also think about like, do I need to deal with this right now? Because,
yeah.
you know, like, would I benefit in any way if I just shelved this
mm-hmm.
for a little while?
Right.
And did some other stuff and came back to this? Because some fear, you maybe don't need to deal with it right then.
Mm-hmm.
And you might get some sort of benefit, a different perspective, if you just shelve it for a little while.
It's like, put it in that box and put it away. That's a very good point, because I think, you know, we with fear comes worry, you know, mm-hmm. and anxiety and stress. And, you know, it's like, is that really serving you well to worry about something that you may not be able to control, first
yep.
of all?
Yeah.
But, it may not be something necessary in that moment. If you have a completely different task or something that you're doing, it's like, do you really need to you know, worry about that concern in your head right now? You know, is that something you can address later? Mm-hmm. You know, I think we kind of carry that with us throughout all of our yes. activities yeah. and days. And when we can kind of put it aside and be like, okay, I can talk about this later, or, you know, deal with these emotions a little bit mm-hmm. later, and let me go on and kind of live my day, not letting it kind of take over.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's if anybody's ever worn glasses or sunglasses, you wearing your glasses makes me think of this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of like if you were to go through your day with smudges on your glasses all day, like right. you can see and you can go through your day and you can get stuff done. But how much better would your day be if you just cleaned the lenses off?
And it's annoying as heck.
Yeah. You know, so yeah. like, so saying, you know what, I don't need to deal with this right this minute is kind of like wiping the lenses clean and letting you really focus on your day. Because when you're distracted, nothing's getting done probably exactly the way you want it done or to your best ability.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just a great analogy. That's amazing. So when people have, you know, when you're working with people and kind of giving them these tools on kind of how to get there and how to recognize it, how do we get to the point of kind of finding and building up that courage within to deal with a situation? I mean, some fears can be larger than mm-hmm. others, and I never want to take away the importance of a
yeah.
fear,
yeah.
you know, that
yep.
somebody may have. Small or large, you know, to them. But how do we kind of build that up and make that fear a little bit smaller and get that courage to deal with these situations?
Yeah, I think a huge thing is trying to expand your comfort zone, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of our fears are driven by what's comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we want to be comfortable. And so that's scary over there on the other side of
yes.
the comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going to stay here in my box and be happy. I'm using air quotes.
Yes.
People.
What we think is happy.
Right. But really mm-hmm. it's maybe just comfortable.
Right.
And so I don't think you have to if you want to like long jump out of your comfort zone, do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not your style and you're more of a like dip the toe in the pool sort of person, awesome, do that. And it doesn't even have to do with the fear that you're trying to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Just stepping out of your comfort zone. Like one of the episodes for Cultivating Courage, we talk about something similar. And the example we use is make eye contact with someone in the street. And then if you're feeling real bold, smile at them.
I love that.
You know, like,
right.
Because it's so uncomfortable, yeah. but it's like, what's the harm in it?
What's that? Like, right.
It's other than like potentially improving someone else's day, there's
totally.
Like not really any harm in like acknowledging another human being,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of uncomfortable.
Right.
And so that's, you know, it could be tiny things like that. And like, the more you do that, I really do think that stepping into courage mm-hmm. is a muscle.
I would agree.
Like you just 100%. Need to practice it. Mm-hmm. And the more you practice, the better you're going to get. And the better you get, the more courage for bigger things mm-hmm. is going to follow.
Absolutely. Those little things, once you realize that you can accomplish that, you know, making a stranger in the street smile, you know, you can definitely keep adding things like that. And then it's like, all of a sudden you're like, oh wow. Like, okay, I feel this inner strength or this mm-hmm. inner power, and I can totally achieve what I thought I couldn't a month ago.
Yeah.
It's funny when you say the comfort zone and being comfortable, I always have to bring jujitsu into this somehow, but that's what, you know, part of jujitsu is on the daily is learning to be comfortable in the uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
and conquering that. It's like, okay, well, I'm here and, you know, I may have someone that's 200 pounds that's on top of me in the worst position, and I need to breathe. I need to be calm. I need to, you know, kind of hold on to my energy and not flail so that I'm exuding unnecessary energy
mm-hmm.
because I might need to, you know, be explosive at a certain point mm-hmm. to be able to escape and get out. And, you know, but it's like you have to use that kind of mental talk at that moment and just be like, I'm just going to breathe. I'm okay. I'm calm. I know what I can do here. It's, you know, I'm comfortable in this position. No problem. And then you can start, you know, moving and maneuvering your way out.
Yeah.
I think, but it's,
that's a great analogy.
It's like, I'm like, well, maybe I'll have to get you to come try some jujitsu.
I know. I was like, I was looking at women's classes. I was like, it's not that far. Anyway.
No, this is great.
We'll talk offline.
Yes. But it is kind of just recognizing that and being like, okay, I'm okay here. I know I'm okay. And having that self-talk in your mind.
Yeah.
Because I think when we let all like the emotions and the anxieties come up and we get really like tense and, you know, we want to like flail, then we start, you know, breathing really heavy and it's really hard to accomplish anything. Mm-hmm. So I think when we can be a little bit more calm and kind of breathe through that and talk to ourselves and know it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Then things kind of calm down and we have more focus.
Yeah. Well, and I think I've read that emotions themselves, and maybe you've read this as well, emotions themselves only last 5 to 20 minutes.
Yes.
So if you can get comfortable with being uncomfortable and just letting your feelings be, and your emotions are trying to tell you something.
Oh,
so yeah. if you can calm yourself and I know it sounds totally like new age hippie, like whatever, but if you can just like say to your emotions, like, hey, what's the message you're trying to tell me here? And I think even just doing that sometimes, you know, snaps you out of the tense and the overwhelm and holy cow, I can't feel this way any longer. So I'm just going to not think about it. And I'm going to like push it down.
Right.
Not ideal.
You know, I was going to say like, that's a very valid point. Like you have to, and we touched on it a little bit before, but you know, it's important to feel your feelings. And I think, and I tell people all the time, listen to your gut, like listen to what your body's telling you. We do that. We can do that with foods, how we feel after we eat something, you know, how just to kind of really distinguish, like, how do I feel after being in this situation or what kind of feelings am I going through? And you have to, you know, feel sadness or grief or anger or fear, but there's healthy ways of doing that. And when we start suppressing them and I think bottling them up and avoiding them, I say that as I was like queen of avoidance when I was unhappy and before I got my divorce years ago. But I get it.
Yeah.
But when we avoid them, it's going to come out in some explosive way.
Yeah. And possibly not having anything to do with the actual message they were trying to give you.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it is important to ask, like, what are these feelings that I'm having and where did they come from? I mean, it doesn't have to be like you're laying on a therapist couch exploring these. But I do think that just asking yourself, like, what is it I'm feeling? Because I think we also have gotten away from even being able to recognize the emotions that we're feeling because we're so, and I'm 100% guilty of this as well. We're just so uncomfortable with being uncomfortable that the minute we feel an emotion we don't want to, that we don't like, anger, sadness, grief, you know, whatever it is, we just say, nope.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Nope. I don't want to deal with you right now.
Yeah. Like, no, I don't want any gravy on my mashed potatoes. Thank you. Yeah. Nope. And so then we never really explore it. And then the next time that comes up, it's just that much more uncomfortable. But if we can get comfortable with kind of exploring, what is this feeling I'm feeling? Like, what am I feeling in my body? Because there's always a physiological response to every emotion as well. And so it's kind of like, where do I feel this in my body? What sensation do I, you know, is is it in your chest? Is it a tightness in your chest? Is it a burning in your belly? You know, and so recognizing that and then going a little bit further and saying like, okay, so that's how I feel it in my body physiologically. And like, what is it trying to tell me and what emotion might it be? You know, it can be a game and it's not, there's no like right or wrong.
Right. No, absolutely not.
And so I think that's the other thing. I mean, I struggle with this, so I assume other people do as well, right? Is like, well, what if I get it wrong? what if I name the emotion the wrong emotion? What then? Like, is that really going to screw everything up? Like, am I never going to be able to figure this out? Am I always going to feel this way because I named it the wrong thing?
Like, that's right? Very real. I mean, that's how people process things. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so I think that a good tool also is to think of it as a game or as practice. You're just practicing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a game. No right or wrong. No winning, no losing. It's yes. just practice, and it doesn't mean anything, but it's other than it's good, you know, to explore it and get use that muscle.
Yeah. And I think that's a good way to kind of practice detaching from it a little bit, you know, so it's like, I don't have to have so much control over this, or I'm not so in this, or, you know, just getting hard on myself. So many times, you know, it's like we need to be more gentle and graceful, I think, with yes. ourselves, because we are very hard on ourselves. And but it's like, yeah, let me just simply this game, like, how am I feeling right now? You know, and really asking ourselves those questions and going through that process
yeah.
In a way where there's no right or wrong answers.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, it's just a process and an activity that we could do to help ourselves.
Yes.
So I'm sure you get so much fulfillment out of being able to help and see people become more empowered and kind of like feel just that self-worth and self-love for themselves and to achieve these goals. I mean, how does it make you feel when you see these light bulb moments in people?
People ask me that question. I still haven't come up with a good response because it's just so fulfilling when Absolutely. when you can literally, I mean, it's not literally wrong use. Sorry guys. But like when you see that light bulb moment,
mm-hmm.
right? It's, I'm sure you have that in your life as well. And it's, there is nothing like it to see someone experience that aha, like, mm-hmm. oh, I get it. Oh my gosh, I get it. And this changes everything.
Yeah.
And it does for people when you can explore your fear and be like, oh, I always thought I was afraid of this, but I'm not. I'm actually afraid of this. And then do some more self-development and mm-hmm. self-exploration around that true root fear, and to build up, you know, your self-acceptance and your self-confidence and all of that, to say, I can show up as myself
mm-hmm.
and everything will be okay, even if it seems like it's not.
Yes.
You know, and it's just, it's amazing. Because,
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's so amazing.
I know, it is. We're both like, there's no words to describe this.
Like
I said, in the whole, like, you know, embrace amazing thing and kind of how I came up with that, it's like, and you talked about it at the beginning, you can see how much potential and how amazing people can be.
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't feel that way about themselves or see it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in this kind of constant place of like negativity or just not feeling confident and having all those fears. You want to just embrace them and help them get to that point. And,
yeah.
and it's like when they finally do, when they start feeling that strength within,
mm-hmm.
And you know, I see this with just my wellness clients and I've just kind of been in, you know, a healing service kind of all, you know, my career, but teaching jujitsu too, just seeing people feel so empowered and strong when, you know, at a time they did not,
mm-hmm.
And how much progress they've made. It's an amazing feeling. And it's a process though. I think that's important to talk about, where it's not, you know, you're going to go through self-development and all of these things throughout your life, and people evolve and change. And it's, you know, a process, but it's progress, not perfection, that I think we strive for.
Yes.
And we learn about ourselves so much on the journey.
Yeah. And I don't think it ever ends, mm-mm. you know,
no,
you might spend 3 to 6 months creating that first aha moment. It doesn't mean you're done.
Like, I'm done. I figured it out.
Right?
Okay.
It's not like
the whole concept of like a soulmate, there's like whether you believe there's only one or not, mm-hmm. like it's not like that. There's not just one aha moment, right. You know, like I still have them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, this is why I'm like this. This is why I do this. Like, but it doesn't have to be. That's just a story I've been living in.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
You know, and so I can just close that chapter of the story and like create whatever I want now.
I think we become so conditioned for whatever reason, if it's relationships we've been in or what we've been, you know, around or our own negative self-talk, you know, whatever the reason behind it is, it's, you know, we just kind of create this, you know, conditioning and it's like, well, wait a minute. That's not really accurate.
Right.
That's not how it has to be.
No.
And you have that moment and it's like, okay, like, I'm going to start pushing forward and living my life.
Yeah. I'm going to open the book to a blank page and start writing a new story.
And I think that's scary. I think part of that, I mean, that's, you know, in the fear that we didn't, you know, really kind of touch on yet, but, well, saying the word, I guess, is change.
Oh, yeah. Scary, man.
It's like change can be such an amazing positive thing. And I think we have to kind of wire ourselves to look at it like that because it is part of the unknown.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, when things change and are different, we're kind of like, oh, wait, I don't know. I don't know if I can deal with that.
Yeah. I mean, people get riled up because like somebody put the forks in a different spot at work, you know, like, change. The forks aren't where they're usually at. It's now, like, what do
hold
I do?
On, wait a minute. Yeah, it's like how do we handle big and small, you know, changes and look to them as being something that's positive.
Yeah.
Even if we don't know how it's going to end up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think as cliche as it is, part of it's just the journey and being totally. Able to get out of our heads so that we can be in the moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's hard. I mean, to say that. Oh yeah, like just keep practicing and in 2 weeks it'll be so easy. It's not like that. You know, even like this morning, it's like, okay, you know, I have to do this and then I'm going here and then I've got to get back to that and then I've got this other thing. And I get in kind of all of that in
totally.
You know, big mess in my mind. And so I miss the ride to work or whatever, you know, and I love, like, I really try, like when I'm on the bus to not be doing anything.
Yeah.
I don't like to have my headphones in. I don't like to listen to music, like generally at least one way of my commute, because I like to just look out the window and try and be really present.
Yes.
In what's happening around me. And I'm not always successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I practice a lot, you know? And so I think it's important for people to recognize that, you know, it's not, like you said, progress, not perfection. And I think that's hard for a lot of us.
Yeah.
Really hard for a lot of us.
Well, I think people think sometimes because of the roles that we're in that, like,
right.
You know,
yeah, we've got
my facial expression
out.
Right now. We have it all figured out. And it's like, oh, no, not necessarily. That is not the case. You know, but we all have, I just think in this life right now, it's so chaotic and we're constantly rushing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like from one thing to the next and we're managing so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
But it is taking those moments to just be present. Like, you know, I love taking the train into the city. Same with you, like the bus. And it's like, just to kind of, you know, look out the window, see what's going on, see what's happening, what's around you, and having that moment of just like, okay, this, I'm going to try and be present in each different activity or moment that I'm going to be at today.
Mm-hmm.
So I can really be there for the people that I'm around, for myself, you know, and not constantly in my mind thinking of the next thing and the next thing and the next thing.
Because you miss out on so much.
So much stuff.
You know, like that doing this is a great example. Like I'm sure you have many other things on your to-do list today. Mm-hmm. I do as well. But like if you can just put it out of your mind for the moment, then you have these amazing conversations. Like you build relationships with people, even if it's for a short term or a long term, you just never know. But I think that that's what
the human experience is meant to be.
Yes.
Like, be here.
Mm-hmm.
Be where you are with who you're with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's easy when you're in a place that's comfortable with people you like.
Right. That's true.
You know, and it's more, and it's more of a challenge when you're somewhere that you don't necessarily want to be with people you don't want to be with,
mm-hmm.
but there's still a way to be in that moment.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think the more you practice kind of centering yourself by yourself, then when you're in those moments, the little annoyances and those sorts of things are easier to kind of just brush away,
mm-hmm.
because you're like, well, what's happening around me and that, you know, the things that are being said or the way that people are acting doesn't change who I am at my core.
Mm-hmm.
So when we can be connected and really feel whole with who we are, then whatever's happening around us, whenever we start to feel that bubble of like, oh, complaints, yeah. complaints,
right.
so many complaints,
mm-hmm.
you can really say like, okay, well, that's just what's happening around me.
Yeah.
It's not who I am. It doesn't need to affect who I am or how I respond to the situation.
I love that. Absolutely. And, you know, being confident, I think, in who we are and being authentic and real and having that sense of, you know, like this is a great example with the podcasting. You know, I never thought that I would have this opportunity mm-hmm. to do this and have, you know, this podcast series. And it's been absolutely incredible, out of my comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
you know, something I never expected. But it's like, you know, I have different guests, and knock on wood, I've been so fortunate for the people that I've met to be absolutely amazing and have great conversations and learn so much. But, you know, sometimes you think and you get in your mind like, okay, well, this is a stranger that's coming in. I don't really know much about them. Maybe we've connected on social media, but, you know, are they going to like me? Are we going to have good conversation? Am I good enough at this? Like, mm-hmm. you know, I was never a host before. Like, am I gonna, you know, be good in this role? Mm-hmm. I mean, all those things can go through your mind. And sometimes you have better days with it. And sometimes
yes.
it's a little worse and it's mm-hmm. more of a struggle. But then it's like, you know what? You take those deep breaths and it's like, I'm going to be me. I'm mm-hmm. going to be myself. And everything's going to go okay. You know, if it doesn't, there's ways we can fix things or
yeah.
correct things. But it's like, you know, just really taking that time to have a conversation with somebody and listen and engage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like once you kind of do that, those other emotions and fears drift away a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's like, really just have a conversation and listen to what the person's saying and share. But, you know, we all have those internal
Yeah, the
fears.
Internal dialogue that we run and the internal fears. And I think
definitely
at the end of the day, they're probably almost all the same. You know, like mm-hmm. what do they think about me?
Right.
Like, I think that kind of boils down almost every fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are these people going to think about me? How are they going to judge me? Are they going to judge me positively, negatively? And that's what we're afraid of.
Yeah.
Is the disconnection mm-hmm. from people. And so instead of attempting to connect, we just further disconnect ourselves
right.
from people because it's scary to try and show up as yourself sometimes
mm-hmm.
because then, you know, if you show up half yourself, if they don't like you, you can say, well, they didn't understand my message or they took that the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you show up 100% as yourself and things don't go well, it's harder to say that it wasn't you.
Right.
But it wasn't.
Well,
it was their experience of you,
mm-hmm.
not you.
I think we get very caught up on if, you know, people are going to like us or not mm-hmm. or what they think. And, you know, that is when you are confident in kind of yourself and knowing that you've given something your all or you've shown up as yourself 100%. We, you know, not everyone, someone said to me once, they're like, not everyone's going to like you, Jen. Like, you might be a very likable person,
yeah.
but like, not everyone's going to.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who do, who love me and who I have as support, but I have to be okay with myself and mm-hmm. I won't change myself to make somebody, you know, like me that Yeah. That might not be a good vibe or energy. You know what I mean? But I just, it's like, it's okay.
Yeah. How did you, I'm going to ask you a question now, if that's okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, because I think that's something that people struggle with. I mean, mm-hmm. I've struggled with it a long time, like becoming what you think other people want you to be. So like, how did you get to a place where you are firm enough in like who you are to say, I don't have to be somebody else. Like, you can either like me or not. Like,
yeah.
What was the process like to get there?
Well, that is a struggle. And I'm not going to lie. I mean, sometimes I still think that, but I've gotten to a place where it's like, you know what? That doesn't matter. I think getting to a place of detachment a little bit, and I talk about this a lot, where it sounds insensitive, but it's really just kind of being able to step back and creating that self-love. For you. But I think when you know that you are confident in doing things that are right for yourself and being happy and going through certain situations like my divorce, it took me a long time of pleasing others and wanting to make other people happy mm-hmm. all the time. I was a big people pleaser and I put a smile on my face and everything's okay when it really wasn't.
Yeah.
And realizing and coming to kind of an emotional breakdown in a sense and kind of physically, that I deserve to be happy. I should be happy. And if this person doesn't see that, all these amazing things that I am, I'm going to do that for myself.
Yeah.
You know, and push on. And I think jujitsu honestly had a lot to do with that and helped with my self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And really just give me that empowerment and motivation. But to just kind of, you know, be accepting of myself and love myself.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's kind of, been a really big push for me in my life.
I think it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And I think finding those tools and having those things and those healthy outlets for yourself, but mm-hmm. doing things that you love, I think can help you get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope I answered that question properly.
I feel like you did. And I mean, to your point, I do think that finding something that you're passionate about, mm-hmm. that, you know, you do for yourself.
Yes.
Is a great way to start kind of the self-love, self-acceptance mm-hmm. process, because it's for you. It's a gift. I always say it's like a gift to yourself. Like, I love taking classes. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I didn't take classes because I'd ask my friends and I'd be like, hey, you guys want to take this class? And be like, oh, maybe. And then I'd send dates around and be, oh, it doesn't work for my schedule or whatever.
And then
we'd never take the class.
Yep.
And so a few years ago, I'm just like, if I want to take a class, I'm going to take a class. I don't need my friends to be there. Like, I'm a grown person.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just take the class and I'll get out of my comfort zone and I'll meet new people mm-hmm. because I won't have my friends right next to me to like have our little clique in this class. I'll be forced actually to interact with strangers.
Yes. So socialize with others.
Yeah, it'll be good. And, you know, the first probably couple classes I took, it was uncomfortable, but now I'm always like, cool, what am I going to do next? I'm like, oh, I'm going to learn the drums. Oh, I'm going to take a glass blowing class. Oh, I'm going to do whatever. And my friends are always like, oh, that sounds like fun. I'm like, cool. If you want to do it, here's the dates I'm signing up.
Yes. This is what, not the back and forth. This is what I want to do. And this is when I'm going to do it.
Yep.
If you would like to join, great.
Yeah. And there's just something empowering about like saying, I've always had an interest in this, but I've never done anything about it. And so I'm going to gift myself the time mm-hmm. and the resources to try this out.
Oh, self-care is a big, like, I am such a big promoter of self-care, but we constantly do things for others, mm-hmm. which is great. I mean, that's a very important thing to be able to do. But if we're not taking care of ourselves, or if we're constantly living a life for someone else, mm-hmm. you know, we need to kind of take a step back and be like, what would I like to do today?
Yeah. Like, it catches up with you.
It absolutely does. It definitely does. And having things that you're passionate about and being able to do, I think that just keeps you whole. It gives you a lot of balance in your life and it makes you feel stronger and empowered. And then you're in a better position, I think, to help those that you love
yes.
and that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I feel like we could talk. I really feel like we could keep talking forever as yes. we're already approaching our hour. Oh, I'm wow. like, oh my gosh, where did this time go? But are there any other, before we kind of close this, you know, episode out, are there any other tips that you want to be able to share with our listeners?
I think a couple of things on fear that mm-hmm. I have found useful is to ask whether the fear is useful or useless.
Love that.
I mean, I think it's fairly self-explanatory. Like, is this fear helping me or not?
Right.
And then the other thing is, instead of looking at fear as a bad thing, mm-hmm. like, oh, this is bad. I'm feeling fear. Oh, I'm doing it wrong. Like, I'm so, mm-hmm. and getting in your head and beating yourself up. Just be like, oh, I always say, like, high five it. Like, oh, hey,
I
fear.
I love that.
Like, like, high five my fear mm-hmm. and be like, not today.
Yeah.
You know, and fear is a choice. Like, sometimes you may recognize that you're having a fear, like fear is coming up for you, and you may like nail it on the head what it's really about. Mm-hmm. You can still choose to live in that fear. I mean, it's 100% your choice. But I do think, like, for me, one of the things I like to do to just minimize the fear, because usually it's useless mm-hmm. in my
yes.
world.
Yes.
Is just like, I pretend like high five it. Hey.
I know you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I'll catch you later.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, like, I'm going to totally. Walk right through you today. But
I
like,
love that.
I see you. I acknowledge you, but not today.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a great way to think of it. I think it's that choice. Mm-hmm. And it's not always an easy choice to make. But when, like, fear, I think we look at it sometimes as being weak if we feel it.
Yeah.
And where a lot of emotions, you know, people have said to me before, and I brought this up countless times, but, oh, you're always so positive. But, you know, in like a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, there's struggles up and down all the time. But making the choice to be positive and have a positive outlook mm-hmm. or embracing and addressing fear
yeah.
is, I think, a stronger choice.
100%.
Where choosing to be negative can be a weaker option.
Yeah, that's the easy choice.
It's the easy, simple choice mm-hmm. to just avoid and be like, oh, but I like that. High five that fear.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know you're there. I see you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, then it's like, okay, I know I can deal with this.
Yeah.
I know I can handle this and I can still continue on with my life. It doesn't have to, you know, paralyze me.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah. Where can people find you?
So you can follow me on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It's at Robinson Kristin, KRISTIN. You can also go to my website, thrivecoachingstudio.com. And the podcast is at cultivatingcouragepodcast.com, or it's on Apple, it's on Spotify, and it's on YouTube as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited because I'm going to be coming on your podcast in a few weeks. So that's awesome.
Yeah. The conversation will continue. Yes. Our time's up here, but it's not up forever.
It's not up forever. I love that. It's awesome. I'm so glad we connected.
Me too.
Usually, I'm like, this is just amazing. And I cannot wait for our episode on your pod. And this will probably be coming out, you know, in a few weeks from today. Mm-hmm. So that'll be good. It'll probably kind of like piggyback off each other a little bit.
Yeah.
But to all you listeners out there, as you know, any topics you want to hear or any hosts you want me to have on, send me a message on my Facebook page at Gen Z, and 5-star reviews are always welcome. Anywhere you can leave them, that would be fabulous. I couldn't do this without all of you. So thank you. And I will catch you next time. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye.